Facebook for the last year plus has been building a team. Mark Zuckerberg pulled back and he said, you know, there's something to this blockchain technology. What should we do with it? They kind of had secret stuff that they were like, who knew what they're actually doing? And then they announced Libra, which at the end of the day, they basically said, we put a lot of research and thought into this, but we don't want to control it, which is really interesting. We're really going to control about 1% of this new currency. And it is a currency. It's a form of money that they are creating. And they are recruiting other partners like Visa and some traditional ones, and then some other technology organizations. And they will control this currency. Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Nick Runyon. Nick, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. It is good to be back. We lost our way for a while. We haven't done this in a while.
We haven't. So I hope we remember. We have not stopped talking. We've had lots of conversations. It has been a crazy, busy season for both of us. And you've gone through a lot of transitions, moving your family to the beautiful state of Montana. So welcome to Montana.
Thanks.
So those watching, you've got your Montana hat on. So you have fully embraced the life of Montana, and I just got back from a family Texas tour in Texas, out of all places that you do a Texas tour. So I'm back home in New York, and we have been talking though a lot. You and I have been talking a lot about crypto for the last year because we wrote a book together on crypto. But then more recently, Facebook has entered the crypto world with Libra. Nick, what are your, maybe share your initial knowings of Libra and initial thoughts about Libra?
This is going to be a short podcast because I'm still kind of in the research phase on Libra. You probably know more about it than I do at this point. But you know, it's the thing that's been interesting to me is that Facebook has, everybody talks about it as Facebook's cryptocurrency. I mean, they're a leader in that, but it's really a conglomerate. It's a lot of organizations that kind of came together and said, you know, we want to offer this new path for value exchange, which I just think is interesting to me because I think I don't know if it's the first time actually, because there's so many thousands of currencies and coins out there, but this is definitely the first that I've seen where it's like a large kind of effort, a collective saying, hey, we want to move in this direction. I think you just have to look at that because it's gonna carry some weight.
Yes.
Well, I mean, what do you know about it? Let's inform our listeners from your standpoint on.
Yeah, and I think we need to go back. I mean, we've talked about it more on the podcast, but just to even talk about why we keep talking about cryptocurrency. I right after this podcast recording, and it will be live before this podcast goes live, I've got a webinar I'm doing with our friends at PushPay about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. This topic is increasing fast right now. And so I think it's a big deal. And that's why we're talking about it here. Libra being a big deal. Now, as I understand it, Facebook for the last year plus has been building a team to really, you know, that I think Mark Zuckerberg pulled back and he said, you know, there's something to this blockchain technology. What should we do with it? They kind of had secret stuff that they were like, who knew what they're actually doing? And then they announced Libra, which at the end of the day, they basically said, we put a lot of research and thought into this, but we don't want to control it, which is really interesting because Facebook is really going to control about 1% of this new currency. And it is a currency. It's a form of money that they are creating. And they're recruiting other partners like Visa and some traditional ones, and then some other technology organizations. And they will control this currency. Now, I think a few things that are interesting in this. One, a lot of people aren't calling it cryptocurrency because while it is built on the blockchain and it has a lot of the same structure of cryptocurrency, it isn't decentralized. It does have a governance of these 100 entities, which will have basically a board seat. And so it's an interesting governance. I think where it's a big shift in money is it's not countries controlling it. It's now companies controlling it. And it's its own nonprofit. And so there's some interesting governance aspects to that that are complicated.
How do you feel about that? I mean, we're living in a world where corporate trust is a pretty shaky thing right now.
And Facebook trust is a fairly shaky thing, which I think this actually speaks to me of, I think, the purity of Facebook, because Facebook could have said, we want to fully control this. We want to control money, and we're going to create it and not control it, but it's still businesses controlling it and not necessarily governments controlling it. And I think it's all about trust. And I think money is about trust. And I think that's where this conversation is so important, is when you pull back on what money itself is, it's a value for exchange. And so who is going to be responsible for managing that and securing that it's a big deal. And so we are trusting Facebook with our data. We're trusting Google with our data. And it's interesting now of they're going to be at the center, or potentially be at the center of money, if we all agree to trust it and be able to use it as a form of exchange.
Well, so one of the things, being at the center of money is an interesting way to phrase that. I mean, the stated purpose of Libra is to reinvent money and transform the global economy. The idea here is that people everywhere can have a better life.
Yes.
What did you just say? You said like the genuineness of Facebook or something. What's the word that you just used?
I think just did the trust. You know, we give them our data, and then it often feels like it's not being guarded or secured well. Well,
this whole thing's interesting. So we're in an election cycle now. You know, that's coming up.
Yeah.
Who do you trust more? Do you trust Facebook, or do you trust current or future administration? Let me just use government generically.
Yeah.
Trust Facebook's management of your money, or would you trust the government's management of the economy? Like, just straw poll, who do you feel more comfortable with?
I don't know. It's hard to say. And I will tell you what, where Bitcoin,
I know it's apples and oranges, but that's kind of,
yeah, but where Bitcoin came from is people unbanking is the term that people are using in cryptocurrency of, I don't trust the government or Facebook, and I'm gonna trust Bitcoin, which nobody even knows who created Bitcoin. And that's the problem I continue to have with Bitcoin, is I'm gonna put all my trust in a currency that we don't even know where it came from. That's a big leap. Now, I believe in cryptocurrency, and I have Bitcoin, and you and I have traded Bitcoin with each other.
Yeah.
It though, to say this is going to be my primary form of currency for exchange is a big leap for me. I will probably trust 100 entities that have earned my trust through different ways. And maybe I don't trust all of them, but because together there is shared accountability, that there's a lot of trust from me in that. And I would say I probably have greater trust in that than I do any government state. Now, I do think when you think about the global exchange, it is important for us as Americans, and I know there's people in this podcast that aren't Americans that listen to our podcast, but we have an economy where our dollar is very stable, and that's not the state. That's not the case for most countries in the world, that the stability of their dollars is, you know, it's almost like Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin is more stable than many people's dollars. But for us in the U.S., we have a very, very stable currency. So the need for a cryptocurrency or a new form of currency doesn't feel as great to us. So I think that's where some of the tension lies. But as you think about global exchange, and when and Nick, you've done a lot of traveling overseas, it gets very complicated when you go overseas. And so something like Libra, if it's accepted globally, man, that makes it so much easier for moving money overseas or even spending money overseas.
So here's the thing that's interesting about that. So you mentioned there's 100 companies that are kind of on the board. Look, that's our terms, not theirs. But like, here's the companies, some of them. MasterCard.
Yep.
I mean, who doesn't use MasterCard? We use MasterCard every day. PayPal.
Yep.
If you look at some of the early PayPal documents, the whole intention of PayPal was to create an avenue for moving money digitally. It was early crypto before I think the world was ready for it, you know, and then they pivoted into, you know, what is now PayPal. Stripe's credit card processing. I mean, we've built websites that use Stripe for credit card processing. It's Visa. Okay. So now MasterCard and Visa. I mean, I don't think Amex is on the list, but if you use any debit card or credit card at all, you're likely, you have a MasterCard or a Visa in your wallet.
Yep.
Bay, Facebook, Lyft, Vodafone, which is gigantic, you know, outside of the US with right. mobile technology. Spotify is on there, which is just changing the music industry. Yep. These aren't, so the conversation about trust is interesting because these aren't just like fly by night companies. Like these are legitimate companies with, look at the boards of some of those companies. You've got some reputable, powerful people in those board positions. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Libra here. And that whole play or the idea to help improve people's lives by giving them a value exchange, some liquidity and a way to move value or currency quickly, I think is really, really fascinating.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how it develops. And I think there are opportunities for developers to get on board and begin developing now in their ecosystem. I think there's just some stuff to be paying attention to. Nick, why though does this matter for churches? Or does it even matter to churches today?
No, I think that it does. I mean, so you made the reason that comment about like your trust or how much you trust Facebook or that they're genuine, they're operating with good intentions. That idea, I think, is probably comical to some people. Yep. But I was actually at Facebook's headquarters when Libra was announced. Like it came out, you know, that afternoon. The next morning I had a meeting there with a bunch of church pastors, and we were talking about Facebook groups, which is something, you know, other regular listeners will know that you and I are big Facebook group fans. 100%. One of the things that was announced in that meeting about groups is that Facebook is going to open up donations in Facebook groups, and there's no transfer fees. There's no fees of any kind. You can now accept donations in your group. So, I'm building into your question, but you look at Facebook is making a conscious effort to involve faith communities in groups. The reason why they're doing that is because they recognize that the interaction inside faith communities truly represents the kind of interaction that they want to see across the board.
Yes.
So now we're taking another step backwards. I feel like I'm talking backwards rather than forwards. But when they changed their mission statement to address meaningful engagement,
yes,
they did so because they recognized that the longer you spent on social media, the more likely you were to be depressed, suicidal. You know, there were all these bad trends that were coming out of it. So they said, okay, let's start changing the way that we're processing data and the way that we're looking at our algorithm to try to help people engage meaningfully with other people in the world. So this is where the whole blending of online and offline really starts to occur on Facebook. And this is the conversation I had with our local church here just this week. You know, we keep thinking about the online church community and then our physical church community.
Yep.
In both cases, it's just people. And it's people ministering to one another. And the digital tools that we use to communicate support that ministry and support that communication. So Facebook has seen that. I don't think they'd use those same words, but that's why they're engaging the faith community. That's why they're starting to open up donations into groups. And none of this has been announced yet, what I'm about to say, but I just have to believe that if they're heavily involved in Libra, I think that that's going to be folded into that whole ecosystem at some point.
Yep.
And so it probably is more meaningful for people outside of the US because of things like, you know, volatility in local economies and, you know, lack of options for transferring value and assets and that kind of thing.
Yep.
But I think that it's, at the same time, it's important for church, US church and ministry leaders here to pay attention to this because this is the way that things are going. And I start to think about, and we wrote about this in our book, Crypto for Good, like, what about transferring value internationally?
Yeah,
that starts to get really interesting. And what I like about Libra is that if I want to send, so say our church is supporting a missionary in Ethiopia or the Sudan or someplace where it's, you know, things like bribes and currency transport and stuff are really problematic.
Yep.
I can send money instantly using something like Libra.
Yep.
And it avoids a whole lot of problems. And I know what I do like about Bitcoin and about blockchain technology is that it's all transparent, you know, so it's that decentralized structure allows me to see exactly where things are going and who's, you know, interacting with it. So if I'm sending money to a missionary in one of these difficult countries, like I know that they are receiving it because I can see that it was received and yeah. how much was received and all that kind of thing. So when you start to layer this up and you see folks like MasterCard, PayPal, Visa being involved in this,
yep.
that gives a legitimacy to this whole thing, because a big conversation right now is like, how do I account for capital gains? How do I give, you know, pay taxes? How do, what if I give donations in cryptocurrency, like what's the impact on my tax income or yeah. my tax return, you know, that kind of stuff. So having some of these bigger players involved, I think gives a legitimacy to that whole practice. And I think for the church, the opportunity I hope that we see coming is that we can quickly transfer things like missions budgets into the field easily, quickly, with low fees, a lot of reliability. Yep. And the IRS, the SEC, people like this are going to figure out, like, how do we account for that and make these paths not only legitimate, but hopefully understandable, if it's possible to understand tax codes and you know, that kind of thing. And that's where, you know, InGiven, I think, is a great organization doing a lot of work in that space, trying to bring ministries and nonprofits into the cryptocurrency space by helping to kind of blaze that path for legitimacy when it comes to things like IRS and tax reporting. So I think that's where this whole thing is going and why churches should be paying attention to it.
Yes, it's no doubt it's complicated. I think too, people often say, like, you know, it's not like everybody's going to start giving in cryptocurrency. Of course not. You know, and people didn't start donating with credit cards to your church. All of a sudden you flip a switch and it starts happening. It's been a process. And now almost every church I talk to, it is far more the giving digital than through physical checks. It is the landscape shifts and shift. Things happen faster now than they ever have before. We don't know how fast this cryptocurrency trend is going to create, but every sign is pointing towards it continuing to trend up. And I think churches often lag behind. And I think that's a passion you and I have is, at the end of the day, blockchain technology is going to be a big deal. Cryptocurrency is going to be a big deal. We don't know if it's Bitcoin or if it's Libra or where that's going right. to end up. And people didn't know whether MasterCard or Visa or there were other credit card companies before them that didn't work out. And so I think we can see a trend of where it's moving. We just don't know how it's exactly going to get there. Mm-hmm. But churches, I think, can get ahead. And given, as you and I both sit on the board, I don't know if you sit on the board for a given, but we are on the given team, so we believe in it, we're behind it. And our friend, you know, DJ Soto was the first church that I'm aware of that began accepting cryptocurrency as a form of donation. And it was so fun for me, Nick, to donate in Bitcoin. So I don't have you had a chance to actually test the experience and donate in crypto yet?
No, I have not, but I've got a call this week with the InGiven team. We are, you know, making people aware that that platform exists, that it's available, and that, you know, nonprofits can sign up for it today. James with InGiven told me an interesting story. I don't know if you heard this or not, but they had a missions organization that's doing some relief work in Ecuador. And so they signed up with InGiven, kind of like an early beta tester.
Yeah.
And they received an anonymous Bitcoin donation that's about $100,000 US equivalent.
Wow.
Just like in the first week.
Wow.
And I think that I heard some people that are a lot smarter than me talk about platforms. When you build a platform, you know it's successful when you start to tap into kind of that latent, that built up energy. That's looking for a path to be released through.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, I looked at Bitcoin this morning, I think it's around like $11,000 or $12,000 right now. I mean, if you bought into that when it was like 10 bucks or, yes, or 10 cents,
yes,
there's a lot of value there that, and there's not a lot of, you know, places to put it, you know, ways to use it. And I think that that's what some of these early adopters for cryptocurrency donations are going to see, is that when you sign on to something like Ingiven and you start making that avenue available, there are people out there that are like, oh yeah, I want to give in Bitcoin.
Yes.
I feel the need to clarify. The reason I haven't given right
nope,
now.
Nope. We're going to go move on now.
No, it's because I'm kind of playing the spikes. So like, yeah, it went up, I cashed out, I'm sitting on the cash, I'm waiting for it to drop, and I'm, you know, so I just don't have any right now.
Clarify. And just to clarify, I gave DJ about $3 in US translation, so I wanted to test the platform, DJ. I will give more later, but it was so fun to test, and honestly, it was so easy to give. And so I, you know, this podcast is meant to lead a conversation, not to sell things, yeah, but yeah. I do hope everyone will go get our book. It really gives a good basics of cryptocurrency and why we believe in it as a future. And we, Ingiven is like 10 bucks a month or $100 a year. It's so inexpensive. I continue to be shocked because we wrote a book. It comes up in conversation regularly, mm-hmm, of how many people, even over the age of 50, who just threw 500 bucks into Bitcoin 3 years ago or Ethereum and are sitting on a good pile of, and I can't call it cash because it's not cash, but they're sitting on value that I think they would be excited to give to an organization through. So I think literally just making your church available as a first step is a great first step. So go to Ingiven, sign up. Just don't wait on this. Don't get behind. It's going to get you, it's going to put you ahead. And Ingiven is developing at such a rate that they're going to stay ahead and be partnered with you to make sure you're ready as this trend continues to grow and develop. Nick, our president, Donald Trump, made his first statement on cryptocurrency recently. I don't know if you picked up on it. Had you seen his statement on Twitter?
No, inform me.
So I've been curious and waiting because so much of the anticipation of cryptocurrency is...
I just hope our listeners recognize the fact that who among you and I are most tuned into Donald Trump. So, sorry, I can't let that go.
Okay. We have unique opinions, and I'm going to do my best to stay away from politics here. I think it's fascinating because from a governance standpoint, I honestly have questions of, is the U.S. government going to mint a cryptocurrency? You know, they're going to create
about this for a while. I think that's a really interesting idea.
Yeah, but clearly, if they are, Donald Trump is playing his cards closely, because he went on to blast Mark Zuckerberg and Libra and Bitcoin, and basically said what a lot of people say, and is that it's not real money. And real money is the US dollar, and it's to, what's the word everyone uses? It goes up and down, you know,
it's too volatile,
you know, and the truth is today he's correct. Bitcoin is not a good form. It's not a stable form of currency. It is volatile. It goes up and down, and it's a bit crazy, as a form of currency. But his stance, because he obviously had been so involved in finances and, I've been curious, what is the government stance now? One person's stance, but it's obviously a very significant person in our government. But I think it's a pretty interesting statement. Curious your thoughts first hearing that.
Yeah, well, I think that as the president, you know, it's like there's a lot of differences here. So this is a flawed comparison, but like the CEO of a publicly traded company, you're accountable for the things that you say in public.
Yeah.
And if I'm the president of the United States, and if there's any, you know, people are waiting to hear what you're going to say about that, you obviously have to say something about the resiliency, the stability, you know, and the history, all of that, of the U.S. dollar, you know, so you have to make a statement on that. Now, condemning, I was just trying to look at the tweet, I didn't see it, but... we've said this over and over and over. I think that the jury is out on this thing, and there's a lot of smart people, I think, that are dealing in monetary policy and that.
Yeah.
And you've been talking about it. I've done a little bit of research. I mean, you can easily kind of go off into conspiracy theory land here, which is also kind of fun sometimes. But
yeah,
people are looking at this. You know, yes. We know that the IRS is making statements about how to handle capital gains through cryptocurrencies.
Yep.
It's not illegal to own it. It's just illegal to not report your gains, you know, but that would be true of any asset, you know, so it'll be interesting to watch. I mean, I think that especially, you know, as administrations come and go, you made a really smart comment about how this is a progression. You know, when you started online giving at churches, you didn't see everybody move into that immediately, but I was thinking about this weekend because we're passing the plate and I'm like, that plate's empty, but I know that, you know, most of people are giving online, you know, so we've made a change there. Yeah. I think that same change is going to occur.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting. I remember early days of the internet where it was, if you got a church website, you were terrible because you supported pornography. You know, if you started to use social media, you were terrible because you supported people cheating on their spouses.
Right.
If you accepted, you know, donations via credit card, you were terrible because you encouraged people to go into debt. You know, and so I think I'm hearing a lot of pushback right now on Bitcoin because basically we support drug dealing, you know, because we believe in cryptocurrency. It's going to evolve. It is not a drug dealer's coin. It's used for that. The internet's still used for pornography. But I think there's so much other value, and I think people are going to continue to see that. And that's what we continue to push this conversation. I want to read Donald Trump's tweets because I do think it's an important part of this conversation. So he says, I'm not a fan of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, which are not money and whose value is highly volatile and based on thin air. Unregulated crypto assets can facilitate unlawful behavior, including drug trade and other illegal activity. Similarly, Facebook Libra's cryptocurrency will have little standing or dependability. If Facebook and other companies want to become a bank, they must seek a new banking charter and become subject to all banking regulations, just like other banks, both national and international. We have only one real currency in the USA, and it is stronger than ever, both dependable and reliable. It is by far the most dominant currency anywhere in the world. It will always stay that way.
True.
It is the United States dollar.
Yeah, true.
I love one. This is a social media thing. We get to hear from our president directly from our president. Now somebody worked on the statement,
sure,
but it was not filtered through media. That was directly from him or his office to Twitter. That is so cool that this day and age of social media, and that we get this kind of information, you know? So it's interesting.
I think the thing about that is all those statements are true. I don't disagree with much except for at the very beginning. You know, something is worth whatever people will pay for it. And the thing about cryptocurrency is the reason that it has value is because people are attributing value to it. Now, there's all sorts of different motivations. And you have to look at if a company wants to become a bank, I am a little hesitant. I'm very hesitant about that. You know, just go look at history with like the company store, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad things that happen when you tie up your employment, the companies that you're supporting with your finances and all that stuff. It's probably needs to be broken down a little bit more than that. So the comments about like a banking charter and that kind of thing. Okay. Yeah. We can talk about that, but those are just avenues for this to travel through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that, we've had this conversation a lot with other people. I'm sure, that you and I both share the same experience. Bitcoin is worth something because people are paying US dollar, or they're exchanging US dollars for Bitcoin, and it holds a value. It is incredibly volatile. It might be worth, you know, $500 tomorrow or $20,000 tomorrow, but it's worth whatever people will pay for it. And that, I think, the fact that coupled with the fact that it's not gone away.
Yes.
So there's, over the years, there's been enough opportunities where, and we've even seen the value plummet. You know, there's been enough opportunities for it to crash and dissolve and disappear, and it hasn't.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't disappear, you have to just look at it and say, why?
Yeah.
And this is where I think Libra is onto something. This maybe it's altruism, maybe it's wrong. Maybe they're not being forthright.
Yeah.
Or maybe they are. Yeah. Maybe it really is an opportunity to give people access to a better life, to give people access to some kind of monetary exchange that allows them to trade, you know, and earn money and have access to a better life.
Yeah.
That's, I think, worth looking at, worth exploring. We are certainly going to continue to keep our eyes on it, you know, and continue to watch where this goes. But I think I personally have moved beyond the, oh, it's all out of thin air, it's nothing, you know, you have to, I think that's probably an unintelligent and lazy stance to take at this point.
It's a strong statement to say about our president, but it, I will say, I mean, I think at the end of the day, my perception of the U.S. dollar is it's based on paper, you know, if we're going to be completely honest, but it is backed by the U.S. government.
Sure.
And I think that's a big difference. And I think that's a big difference with Libra is it's backed by these other companies. And that's why I'm somewhat bullish on this. The person that I'm so fascinated with on the Bitcoin side is Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter, who started the Cash App. And, you know, he's personally buying $10,000 a day worth of Bitcoin, and just, you know, what's, there's so much happening in this space. It's and I think it's going to continue to grow and develop and expand. And Bitcoin probably going to drop again, probably going to go up again, and probably going to stay volatile for the foreseeable future. But this conversation is not going to slow down. I think it's only going to speed up, and I'm pumped to be on the front edge of it with you, Nick. And I hope the churches will push the front edge. Any final thoughts you want to share as we wrap up this conversation?
No, I think that, you know, aside from defending myself, that wasn't a direct comment about the president.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I've heard plenty of people say similar things. And I just think my point was that I think that it's time. If you haven't already, it's time to at least give it a good look and try to understand what's happening here, because something meaningful is happening. No, I would just reiterate as a final thought what you shared before is that, you know, these things are worth looking into. And I think the risks right now are so low for churches to consider receiving cryptocurrency donations that why wouldn't you do it? And I think a little bit of light reading, you'll answer all your questions about how to account for those things. And the... you know, the upside is that you can open up a new and kind of exciting source of donation and giving for some of your people.
Yes.
Sorry, long-winded. One last thing.
Yes.
If I give my car back to the idea of, you know, something's worth whatever people will pay for it. Okay. If I donate my car to my church, they have to go sell it. And then what they do is they book whatever they got out of the sale. And sometimes they just take it to a scrapyard, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
probably they would for my car, but cryptocurrency is kind of working in the same way. Stocks, you know, all that stuff. It's, you can bring it in, you can do a US dollar conversion and then just book it that way. So I know there's probably some people asking, like, technically, how does this work? Mm-hmm. That's one way to do it. And given, which we spoke about, like, they're working on ways for people to hold that rather than exchanging it for US dollar equivalents. But for those wondering, like, today, if you were to accept a Bitcoin donation from Neil Smith in the value of $3 or somewhere in that area, how that works is you sell it. It's very liquid. So you do a US dollar exchange and that's what you book for the donation. So, no, Nils, I think this is a fascinating conversation. I'd love for our listeners to just weigh in kind of on Facebook page. I'm at the point where I'm really interested in what other people are thinking, yes. What other people are involved with, what are they doing, you know, and I think the Social Media Church podcast Facebook page is a great place to do that. We monitor that and would love to kind of engage in that conversation with people.
Yeah, share your thoughts with us. We want to hear your thoughts. I want to give you some action items. If you're listening to this podcast, if you have not gotten, you know, taken on any Bitcoin or Ethereum or, you know, gotten any cryptocurrency yourself, go do yourself a favor. Do it today. And you can do it with as little as like $10. Use the Cash App. Use Coinbase are the two probably most popular ways to do that. Coinbase is what I actually have both, but Coinbase is what I primarily use in the crypto stuff. But I put $20 in, and that's what I started with, just to tinker. And every time I talk to somebody, I send them a dollar in Bitcoin. If you DM me on Instagram, by the way, that you downloaded one of these apps, the first five people who DM me on Instagram, I'll send you some Bitcoin, because I want you to experience what it's like to receive currency in cryptocurrency. But go and do that today. And then the second step is I encourage you to go to VR churches, only church I'm aware of that's live already. And so we've got some other friends at CCV I know going live and several others, but go to VR church, go to the take action button, then go to donate. And then you'll see the option to donate in cryptocurrency and test it. So use your Coinbase app or use your Cash App and make a donation, and you could just do like me, a couple bucks, and see what that experience was like. And at least you'll be that much more prepared and have an understanding of what this is and what these transactions are like. And it will just begin to make more sense, and you'll be ready as this conversation begins. And I bet if you set up that and given, you don't have to promote it loudly, but just being ready is the first step here. So I think it's a fun conversation. I appreciate you listening. For those of you who have listened to this conversation and journeyed with us as we've been having this conversation over the past year, thanks so much for listening to Social Media Church Podcast. All the show notes, go to socialmedia.church. Reach out to us personally on social media. We'd love to connect, or on our Facebook page. Thanks for listening.